Our devotion, our message for tonight, godly devotion for all seasons. As we begin the study of the book of Job, this book of Job is the first book of the Bible. It was written before the book of Genesis. And it's interesting that in this first book of the Bible is described for us a portrait of a godly man. And this portrait of this godly man is given to us of his life through the various seasons of life, in the ups, in the downs. And we would like to examine how he lived his life during those times of prosperity, and how he lived his life during those times of adversity. We are going to study about his character. We are going to study and see his social and family life, how it takes, we said, a 180-degree turn, how different the changing scenes in a person's life that attest to a life that has no guarantee what tomorrow will hold. But for the man of God, for someone who knows that there is someone in charge who cares for us, who is overall tending to our well-being, then you would see that through all the seasons of life, there is a stability. And this stability comes when God endows a man with a spirituality that enables him to, with peace and with joy, often sublime joy, even in the times of adversity. But today we are going to begin this study of the biography of this man, to see the piety of a saint in every season of life. And we want to see his life as a story of a man of faith, the triumph of faith, of deep water faith, and how we need to build strong a faith in God that enables us to weather through the seasons of life. When suffering increase, faith must also increase proportionally. But you would see that in the good times, when all things seem well, I believe it is the most challenging time for the people of God. But you see, in the time of prosperity, this man was able to maintain his ways before God. If you look at the life of the children of Israel, when God prospered them, when they entered the promised land, you see inadvertently they began to turn away from God after the idols in the land, and they saw the prosperity that they had, well, was something of their own. You see, there is a danger that comes with so-called the success of life, and especially with material wealth, there is a great danger to spirituality and godliness. Jesus says that it is more difficult for a camel, right, to enter into a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter. Well, in the sense that here it is said, how difficult it is, right, for one who has riches to not set his heart upon his riches and deviate and move away from God. And so we are going to see the life of this man of God, to see a consistency in his life, in time of prosperity, in time of adversity. And I believe that there are many good lessons that we can learn from the life of such a man. His faith can be described as unflinching, undeterred, unyielding in the face of the fiercest attacks to his faith in God. His faith in times of abounding, and his faith in times of abasing, when all that he had would soon be taken away from him. Ah, so we realize that in life, right, there is no guarantee. The name Job means hatred or persecuted, one who is the object of enmity, derived from the verb to be hostile and or to mean cruelly or hostilely treated. So this man was a man who you would see walked with God through the seasons of life. The book of Job is a doctrinal book, a book that is very much emphasizing on the teachings of Christian piety in faith in God. And if you would observe the content of the page of your content page of your Bible, you will notice the Old Testament consists of 17 historical books and 17 poetic books. And in between, 5 experiential books, or what we call poetic wisdom literature: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. And each one of these poetical books deal with the individual human heart, and it teaches the practical day-to-day Christian living. And it's interesting that this first book would deal very deeply into the life of a man of God through the seasons of life. So if you want to know how to walk with God in the various seasons of life, study the book of Job. And this is what we are doing. And so you see that it is no accident, right, that this book is found right at the heart of the Old Testament. And I believe it is providentially designed by God so that it teaches us, right, that the lesson of faith in the times of suffering. And we begin our Christian life, we said, by that first step of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We begin in faith, we grow from faith to faith, and we also end in faith and by faith. Right, you see that this story begins on a happy note, verses 1, chapter 1 of verses 1 to 5, and ends with a happy note in chapter 42, verses 12 to 17. But in between are the life-transforming events that changed and shaped his perspective of life forever. He's going to go through such trials in his life that he did not know what hit him. And in the turmoil of the adversity that comes upon him in his trials, he had to endure. He had to exercise patience And you know, in the New Testament, there are two words that is used to describe the patience of the saints. One is with regard to his patience to adverse circumstances of life, which we will see how Job would find himself in, but also patience in the sight of people around, right, who seek to cause him to be derailed in his faith, and how he need to be patient, right, even to those who accuse him during the time of his suffering. And he had to maintain his ways before men, before God. And this is the practical reality of life, of the Christian life. And so as you study the book of Job, right, if you focus on the first and the last chapters and fail to study how Job dealt with difficult people in his affliction, then we would miss many precious lessons which can be gleaned hidden in the text. So may the Lord help us to see the richness of these verbal encounters between Job and his friends during the time of his adversities. And you see, there are going to be three major rounds of discourses that his friends would come and heard upon him, verse chapter 4 to chapter 37. And this is what we would be endeavoring to go through. But first, the man in his prosperity, verse 1 of our text begins with this study. There was a man describing this this Job that stayed in the land of Uz, and that he was described as one that is perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. So you see, right in the beginning was a description that is given of this man, that there is a relationship that he had with God. And that relationship is described, right, as one, as him that is perfect and upright. And that the word there means complete. Complete. He was a complete man in the sight of God, in the sight of man. What do you mean by that? Well, certainly Job was not sinless, but he was a man who was holy before God and blameless. He was a man who examined himself, and he's a man who confessed his sins before God. So he takes time always to make right with God, and that makes a complete man. There is a close relationship between him and his God that enables him, right, to walk uprightly. And he was one who here is described as a God-fearer, because he knows that God will judge sin, and he understands the holiness of God, and he sought not to fall under the wrath of God. He hated every evil and wicked way. So you see that his piety would prepare him for the adversity to come. Our text tells us that he was someone who had whom God had endowed, right, with many children. He had 10 children, 7 sons, and 3 daughters that were bestowed upon him. He had a great household, And here is described for us that he, of his social and family life, right? Verse 3 of our text tells us, his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 she-asses, and very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. So you can imagine him, one of the who's who. You can see him placed there in the listing. Right? He is someone who has all the material wealth that a man can imagine that he can possess. That's the man Job. Anything that he desire in terms of material, materially, there is no difficulty for him to take hold of. So this was this man Job. Right? He was materially well off, and he was a prominent person in society. He would be there he would be named. Right? He would be there. He would hold a prominent place as a man with great substance in where he stayed. But you would also notice that although this man was materially well off, a prominent person in society, but he also understood Jesus' words to beware of covetousness, that he did not set his heart on riches, but was steadfast in his devotion to God. Right? Jesus says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. He set not his affection on the things of this world. But his life, as it were hid with Christ in God. In fact, we would read later how he was one who was a helper to the poor and a good steward of his wealth. So this was a man who had the great comfort of the strength of material riches in his life. And yet, he did not allow it to become a temptation to trip him of his devotion to his God. His wealth enabled his children to enjoy the fruits of it in periodic feastings, as our text tells us. And his son, verse 4, says, went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for his their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting are gone, about that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have cursed God in their hearts. Thus he did this continually. So first of all, we saw his character. He was described as a godly man in all aspects of godliness, perfect and upright, one that feared God and hid evil. And his social and family life, right? Materially, he was very well off. Right? So you can imagine that he had the greatest fleet of cars in the East, right? 3,000 camels. So probably you would say he had all the best fleet He owns it, and he owns it in great number. He probably has his own private jet, not one, but perhaps several. And he could do all that he would like to do in life because of the material possessions that he has. And yet, look at his spiritual life, verse 5, that he was someone who would rise up early in the morning and pray and seek God, not only for himself, but for his own children. So he understood the meaning of life and what life truly entails in the final analysis. So he says this, that he would offer burnt offerings according to the number of his children, in that if they have sinned against God, then he would want to pray on their behalf, that God may be merciful to make a way for them. God may cause their heart to turn away from their evil, and that they may come back to God. If they have sinned against God, he asks that God may forgive them, make a way for them to come back to him. And so here is described that he did so continually. And so you see that this man had a devotional life. He spent time with God, and he took time to build his spiritual life strong. And you see that, you know, when God gives to us a time of prosperity, relative peace, it's a very important time for us to fortify ourselves and to build ourselves strong spiritually. And I believe that this was what he did. During the time of his prosperity, he did not indulge in the sins of a prosperous life. But he uses the peace that he has, the physical prosperity that he has, in order to enhance his piety. And that's so important. When God grant us peace and time, when we are not pursued by the adversities of life, that we take time to spend time to build our life strong in the Lord. And so I would imagine that he was someone who sought to draw close to God. In our own terms, he's someone who read his Bible every day. He is someone who spent time to memorize the scriptures. He spent time to hide God in his word in his heart, because he used, I believe, his prosperity, his relative peace, to build for himself a strong spiritual life that would stand him in good stead when adversity comes. And I believe that we all need to learn that good lesson from Job's life. Sometimes, well, God allows us, as you would see in Job's life, to be tested, to be tried. And you would find that in the life of a believer, this is not something that is so far off. But expect that trials and testings will come in your life. And when these trials and testings would come, it will be a time when all the stored up knowledge of God that you have acquired during the time of peace and prosperity, and it is time to put them into use. So the Apostle Peter, which we are going to study this week, spoke. He says that, wherein ye greatly rejoice now for a season, if need be, ye are in manifold heaviness through manifold temptations. And this is what he will go into. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So this was the man Job, who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. This is what we want to see in our lives too. That there is a consistency in our devotion toward God, in prosperity, in adversity. And so this is a good a starting point, right, for us to begin the study of this man's life. And we want to emphasize here how he would rise up early in the morning and how he did so continually. So this is speaks of a devout life, a man who take time to make right with God, who spend time continually in the sight of God. And I believe that such a life is best built during the time of prosperity, in the sense that you are given relative ease. God allows you to take time with the scriptures, and it's such a wonderful time to build ourselves up. I recall some years back, I had the opportunity to travel every week. And so we'd go to a nearby state, take an hour's flight. So 1 hour to the airport, 1 hour to reach the other side, 1 hour on the plane, then 1 hour again travel. And to and fro, that's almost 6 hours. And in between those times, wow, what a good time to open the scriptures and to meditate upon the Word of God. Right? During the time of waiting, during the time of rest, in between travels. So for 1 year, I had the opportunity to study. We were at that time going through the study of God's Word. And it was a perfect opportunity to take time to leisurely go through study. And so I want to encourage you, when God gives you seasons of rest, when you had nothing, it seemed that you have nothing much to do, you had a season of somehow peace with you, time is in your hand, well, I want to urge you to use this time very wisely, to build yourself up in the things of God. Build yourself up in the Word of God, to understand the meaning of faith in all its facets. So one of the good studies is the study of Job. So that when adversity would come upon us, when a trial would befall us, at that time, you know, it's as if you have no time to think. You have to act. And you have to respond in a godly way. Because the trial will force you, as it were, into a corner, force you, as it were, in the persecution to forsake your faith, forsake God, to draw you away from God. The temptation, the trial that will come, that can test us to our limits. So how do we prepare ourselves? I believe it is during the time of our prosperity, you know, when God gives you relative peace. So we said, right, we have a new year. God give us a job. God gives to us relative peace. We have good health and strength, a sound mind. Now, how do you use your time? Well, I urge you to be involved in the intensive meditation study of God's word, so that when adversity would come, you'd be ready to give a right response. And this is what we will see later on in Job's life. During the time of his prosperity, he did not let himself be carried away with an easy life. In a sense, he was not carried away with the material prosperity of life. But he continued to be steadfast. And that, I believe, prepared him for the adversity that will come to try him. And this is what we are going to study, the adversity that will come to try each one of us. And when the adversity comes, then you need to give a godly response, a right response, so that you would receive a godly man's reward. And each one of us seek a godly man's reward. But if we are not prepared, and we are tempted, and we couldn't find that escape route, we fall, then we are going to suffer loss. And therefore, I urge you to follow closely this new series of messages. As we study this man's life together, may God grant to us a perspective of life so that we may learn how to prepare ourselves well for life. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for your word. Thank thee for your mercy to grant us your grace to understand your word, the life of this man Job. Lord, we ask that you would help us indeed to be perfect and upright, a man who love God, fear God, and eschewed evil. Let this be the portrait of the image of Christ in thy people as we seek to draw closer and closer to thee through the study, meditation of your word. May it transform our lives. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.